Good morning to everyone besides Chris Halleck, and welcome to the Pirates podcast to be named later here on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcasting Network. My name is Alex Stumpf. His is Chris Halleck. He doesn't get a good morning. And I'm going to tell you, Chris, why you don't deserve a good morning today.
What did I do to you, Alex? What did I do?
Here's... Look,
there are parts of the base... barrages of tweets about like how great my trip in Cincinnati was compared to what you thought it was going to be.
Yes. I can list off everything that has happened in Cincinnati for 3 years on this job at DK Pittsburgh Sports. Whenever the Pirates played in Cincinnati, I was at every single series. There is never once that I missed. Almost all the time, you got to drive there. It's a pain. It's a rough drive. It's a boring city. The ballpark's tough to maneuver. And they always stink there. And Chris goes there once. I'm finally not there once.
You were celebrating. You were so happy.
I was doing cartwheels. It's like, I'm not going to Cincinnati. This is fantastic. My wildest dreams have come true. Ever since I joined the Pittsburgh Pirates beat, I have longed to not go to Cincinnati. And and Chris goes there. And not only do the Pirates sweep for just the third time in 4 years, or two years, third time in 2 years. Math went the wrong way there. Third time in 2 years, they sweep. Not only did he get to watch this young right-handed pitcher throw absolute gas, Luis Ortiz makes his major league debut.
Average 99.
Everyone, I was in Altoona that night. My goodness, they were so proud of him. They were so happy for him. He's going to get a victory parade if he, for whatever reason, ever has to set foot in Altoona ever again or with those group of players. But this is the real insult to injury.
They had euros or gyros in the press dining.
Not only was it gyros and euros in the press dining. Whenever I had gone there the last 2 years for the last game the Pirates were there, both times, it was Skyline. And there were a few things. I would rather eat Alpo than Skyline chili. And it's like, well, you could go hungry or you could eat Skyline. It is horrible. And no, he avoids the Pirates' losses in Cincinnati. He avoids the just random guys making starts. He avoids Skyline. He pitches a perfect game in Cincinnati, something that has been never done before. I don't know. I can't believe I gave you a doubleheader in Cincinnati in late September, mid-September, and that's what happened.
It just backfired right in your face. It just backfired.
This is the first segment, just me airing of the grievances right now. This is unbelievable.
I will say though that a lot of it was out of my control. I couldn't control the way the Pirates played. I couldn't control what they served in press signing. I couldn't control the media elevator that wasn't really a media elevator.
It's not.
I mean, we're me and another reporter after the game on Monday night are literally just standing there waiting to go down and talk to Derek Shelton. We're like, we're probably going to miss Derek Shelton. And finally, the elevator came, but it was going up. And then everybody who was like on the elevator, like when they got to the main level, they got off. And then for whatever reason, the guy running the elevator just hit every button like freaking Will Ferrell and Elf, like for on the way down. And so we had to hit every level on the way down where nobody got on, nobody got off until we got to the bottom level. And we're like, somehow we did make it to Derek Shelton that night. But no, so it was... it went way better than I expected it to.
That's just Cincinnati, baby. If you don't like that, you don't like Cincinnati Reds baseball. Another thing about Cincinnati Reds baseball is that whenever they do win, there's like this drum line outside, and the press box is so close to the street that you hear everything of it, and you're trying to transcribe, and you just hear this annoying drive line, and it's like, you guys are going to finish with 60 wins also. Like, this isn't much of an accomplishment to celebrate. So, yeah, I think the biggest grievance is this was probably your last game covered.
At least for the season. I mean, never say never when it comes to covering Pirates baseball next year. There's 162 games.
Oh yeah. No, I'm talking 2022.
Oh yeah. I mean, I as far as I know, there are no plans for me to cover baseball for the remainder of 2022. So I went out on a high, if that is in fact the last game I cover this season, I went out on a high note. I can't imagine it ending any better than it did. Again, a four-game sweep. The first one at Great American Ballpark. The first one in Cincinnati since 1991. I was not even 4 years old. Pretty good. I really couldn't. It really couldn't have gone any better. It could not have gone any better. I was even like, you
I've
know
had
what?
My car broken into in the Cincinnati lot, and you're talking about how great everything was in Cincinnati. My goodness, I don't know. And this is the real insult to injury here, and this one's a cap to Sid for Perez, who keeps track of everyone's wins, and he gave the win percentages also. Chris covering the Pirates this year.
Yeah.
They play at a 96 win pace. Whenever I cover them, it's a 53 win pace.
Something about the mojo to the clubhouse. I don't know if I'm
96 win pace. You would win the division. You would get a bye out of that wild card round. This is ridiculous.
Okay, we can end the segment on this. You know what the mojo I bring to the Pirates clubhouse is whenever I walk in?
That you're not me.
I tell dad jokes.
So, okay, so Zach Thompson loves you. You walk in and Zach Thompson's like, oh, we eating today. Andy Bass is ready to go. Oh my.
I'm telling the dad jokes, and I've also covered some stinkers. I covered the 16-0 or 16-1, whatever it was, lost to the Yankees.
Oh yeah.
I've covered
a few stinkers myself.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have. So it's not been all sunshine and rainbows whenever I've covered the Pirates, but yes, it has been more wins than losses. And so I am fortunate in that regard for being a backup. And I think I covered four different road series this year, and none of them really went that bad. They took 2 out of 3 in Milwaukee while I was there. I think they lost 2 out of 3 in DC. I'm trying to remember. I think they lost 2 out of 3 in Baltimore. The road series have gone okay. Cincinnati, it's not a fun place to go. Definitely not one of my favorite ballparks. That's for sure. No. But I didn't get any Skyline chili. I got gyros. It was good.
I don't even know if the gyros probably weren't even that good, but it's not Skyline.
They were like, and this isn't a shot at Arby's at all, because I guess they were like about the same that you would get at Arby's. But I really don't take it as a shot, because I actually think for like fast food, the Arby's gyros aren't that bad. That might be my hot take. I don't know. I just don't think that they're that bad at all.
I'm not adventurous at Arby's. I go there. I know what I want. Give me the classic roast beef. Give me some curly fries and give me a turnover. I got Peyton Manning cadences whenever I go through an Arby's drive-thru.
I just realized we have not talked once about Pirates baseball yet, and this is a Pirates podcast.
Should we probably talk about Pirates baseball?
We probably should.
Okay, for the second segment, we're not going to talk about Pirates baseball either. We're going to talk about Roberto Clemente Day. And I don't know, maybe a take that isn't going to be so popular in Pittsburgh. Welcome back to the Pirates podcast, to be named later, here on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcasting Network. Chris, one of the more annoying parts of this job is whenever you see something on Twitter and you're like, well, that's BS. Mm-hmm. I know that. And you've got to bother someone and be like, can you just confirm to me that this is ridiculous? This isn't happening. And like, yeah. And we all just feel like, well, that was a necessary exchange, but that's, you know, 60 seconds of our lives we're not getting back. And that's what happened whenever we saw it went viral. The Roberto Clemente, his number was going to be retired.
This is from you're talking about the report from the volleyball writer, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The guy who just made the assumption based on Rob Manfred being at the game and a handful of former players and Clemente Award winners being at the game as well. As like, oh, they're going to retire it. It's like, no, guys, this is just for the listeners here. If a news story is going to break like that, it is going to break one of three ways. Mm-hmm. It is either going to break by the team just announcing it, the team or the league.
Yep.
The second is a Pittsburgh-based reporter will break it because the team or the league told that reporter.
Yep.
And the third and probably the most likely is like an ESPN breaking it because the league told him that it was.
Yeah. A Jeff Passan or Ken Rosenthal. But if it's not one of those guys, it's probably not happening.
There is a 0% chance that it is going to be some random writer from Forbes.com. Please keep that in mind. Know how this industry is going to work. That is just too big a story. There were only three ways that it was possibly going to break.
Yep.
But it did raise the question about, once again, retiring Roberto's number. Mm-hmm. It's something that has come up pretty much every Clemente Day over the last couple ones, especially since there's a lot of support for it.
Yes.
I think it's something that whenever Mrs. Robinson passes, mm-hmm. it will pick up serious traction. For respect for her and Jackie, it's not going to be seriously considered at all, I imagine, because of Jackie's influence in the game.
Right.
And we're not going to touch on the, you know, Jackie Robinson is the most important baseball player in this sport's history. You know, should he have a distinction that no other player has? Like, we're not going to touch that side of the argument here. I just want to talk about retiring 21 mm-hmm. and how, in my opinion, they shouldn't. And it comes down to one thing for me. And it's they announced the 30 nominees for the Roberto Clemente Award presented by Capital One. And it's those four words at the end that's like, no.
Yeah.
No, not until you don't do that.
Yeah,
because there are a million things you can complain about this Pittsburgh Pirates organization and how it is run. If there is one thing that they have consistently forever batted 1,000 on, it is respecting and understanding the magnitude of Roberto's legacy as not only a ball player, but as a humanitarian. There is no garbage attached to his name to make a buck there. Do you know how sacred something has to be for Bob Nutting to be like, no, I am not going to profit off of that? Yeah. That is Roberto Clemente's name to this organization. Mm-hmm. The Pirates do it right. Major League Baseball, I get how they are so driven for that dollar and how it's a marketing opportunity and it's a way to have that partnership with a big credit card and bank, but it's no, you can't do that to Roberto. Roberto literally gave his life to try to provide aid and supplies to the poor, to the hungry, to the needy. Mm-hmm. There is no, I can't imagine him whipping out an American, what's in your wallet? He's not going to do that.
Yeah.
For Capital One. So no, I don't like that. I don't like that Capital One executives or officials are part of who is part of the voting committee for who is going to be the Roberto Clemente winner. Like, I'm sure that is such an insignificant amount of it, but it's something. It's something that they put in the press release. So no, I can't do that. I can't give my blessing on this matter means anything. But as one person who has grown up in Pittsburgh and has known for his entire life as a baseball fan the importance of Roberto Clemente, I cannot give my seal of approval for the league to use his name for profit like that. I can't do it. And we've seen this issue with Jackie Robinson, and I know listeners are going to have heard me say this before. A couple years ago, Major League Baseball had a sponsorship with Budweiser and Jackie Robinson for Jackie Robinson Day. And Jackie Robinson did not drink, but he was accused of public drunkenness by a racist army officer.
Yeah.
And the league didn't see any issue with that until the internet's like, what the actual hell is wrong with you? Yeah. So no, until
just completely tone deaf.
Yes. You get rid of that by Capital One. You treat Jackie Robinson's number and his name with the respect that it 100% deserves, 110% deserves, the most important player in this game's history. Those two, Jackie Robinson or Roberto Clemente, are the two players in this game's history that transcend the sport, that they are known for their humanitarianism, for their fight for social justice. You haven't done right by Jackie Robinson the way that you should. You don't get Clemente until you do.
Right. And I definitely see what you're saying. And everything that you've said is valid. It is. And I would agree with it. And I do think, listen, Major League Baseball, they can cry poor, or cry COVID, and cry everything that they want. There's just the fact of the matter is that the NFL is the only league in the entire world that brings in more money than Major League Baseball. They're the second highest grossing league in the entire world. They have plenty of ways to bring in revenue. They're about to bring in more revenue with all of the jersey patches and helmet decals that are going to be starting next year. Do you need to use Jackie Robinson's name or Roberto Clemente's name to make more money? No, you absolutely don't have to. And you've made a really great point with that. I do think, you know, when we're talking, I think I would assume you agree, but you can correct me if I'm wrong, that you talk about, okay, Jackie Robinson transcended the sport, obviously broke the color barrier, and he was a great humanitarian. Clemente, obviously, you know, he has an award named after him for a reason. And I think because of his accomplishments on and off the field, his number should be set aside just like Jackie's is. But with the point that you brought up, Major League Baseball needs to stop tarnishing the names of these two legends and just allow them to be represented the way that they should. And those are really great points. I can't argue with that. I definitely believe. I can tell you right now, from covering a baseball team outside of Pittsburgh, even whenever Roberto Clemente Day would come up, and I would either have conversations with players or conversations with some of the other beat writers that were there, it was very, very important for them. And there were a few other beat writers there that were like, 21 should be retired. Like they were very passionate about it too. So this is not just a Pittsburgh thing. Like this is
No.
Yeah, this is you know, I understand obviously people in Pittsburgh want to see Clemente's number retired, and for good reason. He's probably, other than Mario Lemieux, probably the greatest athlete this city's ever seen. So Yeah, I mean, he absolutely deserves to be respected that in that way. But this is something that's gone way beyond outside the city limits of Pittsburgh for sure.
Yeah. And like I say again, just the way that Clemente died to attach a credit card company to
that's
very distasteful for me. And I hadn't even thought of like the patches being on the uniforms next year.
So there's goodness, more
we're gonna see more. People with 42 jerseys on Jackie Robinson Day, and there are definitely gonna be some wild jersey patch advertisements on top of that. So
the Padres one that when the picture came out, it was like this massive like M Motorola patch that was like on the side. It was like it's almost bigger than like the regular like SD that would be on the side on the sleeve there instead. It's just like, man, like I don't know. I mean, I've already seen the hockey jerseys. You know, the players wearing the hockey jerseys, they're going to have the patches on the upper right, chest, you know, up near the shoulder, and it looks awful. But it's going to make baseball look bad too. But and that's a whole other topic. But yeah, it's just Major League Baseball is finding more and more ways to bring in money. They don't have to use names like Jackie Robinson or Roberto Clemente to make more money.
Yeah. And the NFL is guilty of this too. Like,
yes,
it's the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award presented by Nationwide. Like if this is really supposed to be about making a positive impact in your community and transcending just being a baseball player, but also being a good person.
Yeah. Like,
can someone not just find a way to make a buck off of that? So I don't know. I can't. I look, Roberto's legacy, it definitely, I support every single person who feels that number one 21 should be retired, especially from the Latin and Puerto Rican communities. I can't speak from that. I'm taking the Pittsburgh angle because I am a Pittsburgher.
Right.
So that's why I'm taking that particular, you know, angle from it. But no, I can't say it more clearly. If Bob Nutting's not willing to touch on this for profit, then the league.
I think honestly, that's your strongest argument right there.
Yeah. Like, look. A lot of people, there's a lot of justifiable criticism of Bob Nutting. That ain't one. Like that one, he has done 10 out of 10 the entire time. So.
Yep.
I'm going to just put it there. If you support 21 being retired, like good players do, like good. I don't want to ever muddy Roberto's message and his contributions to the world. And that's where I'm going to land on that. We're going to take one more.
Capital One's actually the lien holder for my car.
If there's a Capital One commercial during this break, I am going to lose it. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the Pirates Podcast, to be named later, presented by Capital One. What's in your wallet? Chris, who is the Mac Jones of baseball world?
Oh, God. You just threw that on me.
I'm throwing you under the bus here. Let's go.
You just threw that on me like Cincinnati people love to throw their chili on everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Good thing.
God. A Mac Jones. My God.
The young player who's probably mid, but playing up right now.
Yeah. I honestly can't even put. Just of the entire baseball world?
Yeah.
I can't even, honestly, I don't even know that much about Mac Jones other than what I've seen on film. I've been covering baseball the last 3 years. I don't have the time to pay attention to Mac Jones and his career at Alabama or his first year in New England.
I'll say a young Eric Hosmer to help you out here.
Okay.
Probably mid, but got a lot more credit than he deserved.
Hey, I've swung and missed on that one. You just threw 103-mile-an-hour gas past me before I even got the bat on my shoulder.
A Luis Ortiz fastball.
Yep. You just threw the 99-mile-an-hour fastball just before I even got the bat off my shoulder.
Thank you so much for listening, everyone. We'll talk again next week.